Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Faxon. And thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, where we walk through the process of their place is the place that God is taking us to, that place that we don't know. It's an Abraham journey where we continue to follow God. And as we go where he's leading us, we find out that is a place where he makes the distinction in us, the place where he proves us, refines us, the place where he blesses us. It's always going to be a there place because he's always going to be moving us from height to height, depth to depth, glory to glory, faith to faith, to trust him, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of who he is. And we are encouraged in this segment to believe God, to stand on his word, to trust him and to obey him. And as we do, we become light to someone else. We become the salt that savors so that someone else will know that Jesus lives, he loves them, and that he has all power and authority, and he can break every chain, he can change any situation, and he can move by his spirit and his power. So we are believers who have been called by God, drawn by his spirit, his love, and we are chosen by him. We're unlikely candidates. We didn't choose ourselves. He chose us, and he chose before the foundations of the earth. And I'm so glad that he chose us for his purpose and his plan. We've been looking at unlikely places of blessing, studying different people in the Bible, seeing them not as superhuman Christians, but seeing them as individuals that have been called by God, and they make mistakes, but it doesn't refute the word, the promise, or the process that God has for their lives. There are still those people who he uses, and we see them in the word of God, and we're able to read their story, hear their life, and understand how God is able to do the same thing in us and use us for his glory. We're going to be looking today back at Ruth and studying her life and seeing how God uses her in an unlikely place to be blessed and to be one of the unlikely people, because she's not an Israelite, to be chosen by God to do great things and talked of not only in the Old Testament but in the New Testament. So we're going to go back to this study again. We understand that Ruth was a Moabite, a woman who had become a widower at a young age, and that her father-in-law and her brother-in-law also passed away. So we have three men in a family who passed away. And this is happening during a time of a famine, okay? So we understand that during the time that where there's heavy hearts, discouragement, hurt, pain, especially sorrow and grief, there are always going to be decisions that have to be made. And we have to be careful that we don't make decisions out of our emotions and not out of the perfect will of God or the word of God. So we always have to make sure that when we're in that place of pain, that we are not moving according to our will but the will of the Lord. And we see that Ruth has vowed to be with Naomi, who's her mother-in-law, and to join herself, connect herself to be united with not only Ruth, but Ruth's people, which is the nation of Israel, those people that she belongs, the nation that Naomi belongs to, and also the God of Naomi. That lets me know that there was such an impact by the family themselves who went from Bethlehem to Moabite during the famine, that it made her want to choose to be in the presence of the Israelites and the presence of the God of the Israelites and not leave her mother-in-law. Now, Ruth has taken on the role of what her husband would have done. The word of God lets us know in the book of Leviticus that whenever the father has passed away and the mother is left, the eldest brother has the responsibility of taking care of the mother and seeing to her needs, and so that responsibility falls on him. If there's no family members for her to go to return to, then she, a life for a woman who's a widower, could be very, very hard during this time period. So Ruth takes on the role of what the eldest brother would have done. She takes on the role of making sure that Naomi is taken care of and that she is the responsibility falls on her. So we understand that because of what she does, God honors loyalty and integrity, and he honors Ruth and blesses her, and that's why she's mentioned in the Bible, in the Old and the New Testament, because her heart was not a heart that came after something for herself. She put her mother-in-law in front of her own needs. She was a young woman. She could have easily gone back to her own familiar clan of people, her own culture, and found a husband, but she didn't do that. She decided to take on the responsibility of taking care of her mother-in-law. Now, famines came because of disobedience and rebellion against the will of God. That's according to the book of Leviticus also. But we understand that in this, God allows the Israelites to turn, to come to him, and to restore them. So they were from, Naomi and her husband were from, the sons were from Bethlehem. And Bethlehem means house of bread. And even though they were at a place where there was no bread and they had to move, there was no spiritual bread nor natural bread. So that lets me know that the famine was spiritual and natural. And the house of bread was supposed to always be a place where they could find spiritual bread, something that they can eat with, and also natural. But because of the rebellion of the people, because they were not turning to God, they were turning away from God, and this is right before the judges were in effect. Now, the judges were put in effect by God to help keep the children of Israel in a place where they were always panting after God, running after God, that they would know the laws of God and know the will of God, the commands of God. And so this was right before this is happening. And so the children of Israel always needed either a prophet or someone to keep them in line because the Holy Spirit had not yet come. So we see that during this time frame, Ruth is in a place where there's no bread. They go to Moabite. Now, Moabite has bread, but they have no spiritual bread. So we see here that they have the physical bread, but no spiritual bread. And we know that the Word of God lets us know that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So there always must be not only the spiritual bread, but the natural bread, so that we're able to live a balanced life. But our spiritual bread is always to outweigh the natural, because if we eat the spiritual bread, it's going to lead us and guide us in truth, because it is Jesus who is the Word, which John says that he is. And we understand that as we eat him, as we receive him, as we take that Word in every day, as we live that Word out spiritually, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're changed. We have an impartation of power, of anointing, of understanding, of wisdom. And we live on a greater dimension because we have fellowship with him, because we are now in the Word. We're renewing our mind in the Word. We're moving according to the Word of God, living according to the Word. Our standard is the Word of God. So we see that that spiritual bread will always outweigh, because that natural bread will always end, but that spiritual bread will never, ever pass away, because it is God. It is Jesus. And the Bible says everything will pass away but the Word of God. So we know that he's from eternity. He's from everlasting to everlasting, and he's not going anywhere. He will be and remain forever. So when we consume the living Word, the Jesus, the Word of God, we are commanding an eternal exchange in our lives. We're commanding something eternally to be imparted in us, and that we're going to live by, and it's going to be our lifestyle. So Ruth she comes in at a time when there is no bread in the house of Israel, naturally or spiritually, but God is going to use her to set something up so that there will be a consistent flow in the spirit realm, because God is ushering in something that is going to be evident, it's going to be seen. So we see that he's making sure that there will be those who pant after him and want him and thirst after him, because he's setting up a lineage that will love and adore him, that righteous lineage. And he's still doing the same thing. He's making sure righteousness is seen in the earth. Righteousness is there's a righteous lineage that will pant after him and thirst for him. Now, Ruth is not trying to operate in a leadership role, but she is operating in a leadership role, because she's now standing in a place of authority and doing something that a man should have done in that time frame, but she's doing it because her heart is a heart of integrity, and her heart is humble before the Lord, and she wants to honor her mother-in-law. She wants to honor her mother-in-law. Now, the family of Ruth, they were well-to-do people when they were in Bethlehem, but when they come back, when she comes back, she's going to be in such a lowly state that people will not be able to recognize her. But we see here that as they go forth, as they move, and as we see that the financial, there's everyone who reads this book understands that there is a financial blessing that needs to be installed on us when we're going through some certain things. But if we go through it the right way, God is going to bless us so that we'll be able to reach the goals or reach the obligations that we need, because she was committed to doing the right thing. And when you do the right thing, God is going to bless you, and especially in a hard place. When you do the right thing in a hard place, God is going to bless you because you're committed to do the right thing. And she was committed to do the right thing. Now, Elimelech was Naomi's husband, which was Ruth's father-in-law. He passes away, and his sons pass away. And so we have sorrow and grief, and we have women who don't know what to do. The other daughter-in-law decides that she's going to go back to her people, but Ruth decides she's going to stay with her mother-in-law, and she's going to be there. Now, this is something, because to leave, to be already in a place of grief and hurt, and then to leave the familiar, to go into the unfamiliar, requires a character and of integrity that many people do not have, because many of us in that place of grief and sorrow and loss would have never left the place where we knew was familiar. We would have said, I would love to go with you, but I can't. This is what I know. I can find a husband here. I can better myself here. I have family here. But she decides to leave everything, not knowing if she's going to find a husband, if she's going to be rejected by the Israelites, if she's going to even have a place, if they're going to even live. She doesn't know anything, but the integral part of her says that, I'm trusting the God that you serve. I'm committing myself to the God that you serve. I'm saying that I forsake everything that I've known and have learned to know your God, to know your people, and to be with you. I'm forsaking everything that I was ever taught so that I can now relearn how to live in the standard of righteousness, how to live now in the standard of a righteous God. And she does this, and this is why God blesses her, because she was willing to lose it all, forsake it all, to gain God, to count it as lost. No matter if she had wealth, if she had a family that could take care of her, she was willing to forsake all of that, count that as lost, so that she can win or receive Christ. And at that time, she did not know that she was moving in that direction. But there was a drive and a force in her that was greater than the natural. And I believe the Holy Spirit was really moving upon her, because God wanted to do something in Naomi's life to give her hope, as we'll see, but also to do something in Ruth's life to show her who he was, but also to let the Moabite nation now be inclusive. Like Jesus did when he was with the woman of the well, he was making her inclusive of this gospel to let them see that they're not rejects, that when he comes, when he came, he was going to graft them in like he did with us. So I believe that God was doing something in there to let them see that he was going to make everyone who's ever born, every race, included in his divine salvation. This is all the time we have for today, and I'm so sorry we don't have any more time, but we're going to come back tomorrow and do something wonderful again about learning about Ruth. Be blessed and have a wonderful day.